Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study in the Book of Romans, titled Wake Up. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get started.
I am so excited to be back in the Word. I am so excited to be back into the Book of Romans. As I was preparing this week, I was on edge the whole time. I want to get it right. I want to make sure that what I'm sharing with you is what God has to share with you. I want to make sure that we all grow from it. I want to make sure that we all do it this way and we all do it that way. And I was all, you know, every night I'm like, okay, so, no, that's good. No, that's not. And last night, as I just sat down with the Lord, and just he and I had some really good time together, and the first thing he said is, relax. It's my word. I'll do the teaching, okay? Just calm down. I've got a friend of mine in here in the office who's just, I love it. I love it when we get all excited in there. Cindy always just, calm down, just calm down, we'll be fine. So she keeps us in charge, so that the Lord did that to me. And so we're just going to pray before we get started in here tonight. And so, Lord, we are thankful to be gathered here together tonight. Lord, we sense that your presence is here. We are blessed, Lord, beyond measure, to be in your family. We are thankful, Lord, for the words that you have left behind, the printed page, Lord, that we can learn and we can read and we can hear what it is that you're saying to us. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts would be open to learn, that we would be sensitive to what you are saying, that we would always, Lord, set our hearts on the things that you want for us. And that we would bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. And so your Bibles are open to the book of Romans, and we realize that it's been 25 years since Paul has accepted the Lord. It's 25 years ago, before he wrote this letter, that he made that decision to give his whole life, his body, soul, his spirit, his mind, every bit of him, to the Lord. And so here now we have this letter to the Romans. And we went over these first seven verses. And by the way, you noticed as soon as you opened your homework that the first day had an error on it, didn't it? Yeah, okay. But you were really, really smart ladies, and you knew that you were only supposed to read 1 through 7 for that, not 8 through 16, right? And so you just did what you were supposed to do, and, you know, it all worked out. So just want you to know that we knew that that had happened, and we hope you don't find anything else like that in there. We're hoping not. We're hoping not. And so Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, we talked about it. He was a servant by choice. He was a servant by choice. He chose to serve Christ. He chose to give his whole life to Christ. And it says that he was called. We talked about him being called to be an apostle, that he was separated for the gospel of God, which was promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We talked about that being the Old Testament that it's talking about there. And when we get further into this first chapter, we're going to see how much of what is in this first chapter has to do with Old Testament Scriptures, the things that were actually being fulfilled at this particular writing that Paul was making. And so it was concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. Remember that it proved his humanity, his complete humanity according to the flesh. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of his holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It was the resurrection from the dead that showed us his divinity. So completely human, completely God. Through him, we've received grace and apostleship for a purpose, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is being written to those who are called. All are called. But this is being written to those who have made a response to that call. This is being written to the ones who have decided that they are going to walk with Christ. They are going to be one with him. To all who are in Rome, who are the beloved of God, which gives us that indication that they have made that decision to walk with Christ. Then we are called to be saints, and we have that grace and grace to you and peace. We remember that we cannot have the peace of God until we have experienced the grace of God, until we have that grace that is God's riches at Christ's expense. Until we have that grace established in our lives, we cannot have the experience of that peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we move on to verse 8 there, and Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I'm thankful for you all. I love that he said, I'm thankful for you all. Does anyone in here have anybody that they are not particularly thankful for from time to time? I have people that from time to time, it's not an over, you know, but there are times. I am thankful for all. With Paul, I know that that's where I'm supposed to be, so we are thankful for all. He thanked my God through Jesus Christ for you all for a purpose, for your faith is spoken of throughout the entire world. That's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that your faith is spoken of throughout the entire world. Do you know, ladies, that your faith here at Calvary Chapel at Refuge is spoken of around the world? One of the things that, because we're on the internet, because there are people that watch on the internet, we get letters, we get communication of the faith that they see in you guys. And so your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, just like it was for the Romans there. For God is my witness, whom I serve, verse 9, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And he's saying, you were always on my mind. But you know what? It's not like Willie Nelson. They weren't always on his mind like on Willie Nelson's mind. He goes, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I should have done the other thing, and I wish I would have done this, but I want you to know you were always on my mind. I never wanted to be home. I never wanted to be near you, but you were always on my mind. I just want you to be encouraged with that. That's Willie Nelson's idea, but here it says, you are always on my mind, and I want you ladies to know that you are always on my mind when it comes to prayer time. Not just my mind, but the leadership here at of Refuge, the women leadership, you are on our minds, and you are constantly in our prayers for you, just as Paul was speaking of the Romans. And here's why they were always, he makes mention of you always in my prayers, verse 10, making request, if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. If I could just find a way in the will of God to come to you, you realize that he found a way in the will of God. How was that will of God? He came as a prisoner to Rome. That was the will of God for him. Aren't you glad that he knew that he was called by God? So that when he came as a prisoner to Rome, he knew he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do in preaching the gospel. He knew he was who he was supposed to be at that particular time. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you, that I might give to you something. Paul is not a taker. He is a giver.
He was always a giver. He was not a taker. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established, so that your foundations can be made stronger. How are you going to be established? And he goes on to say in verse 12, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me, that we would together have that fellowship, that our faith would encourage one another, that we would stand together in that faith that only Christ can give us. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen, the fellowship that they have in there. You know what fellowship is? It's two fellows in the same ship. And that's what it is. You're in there together. You're always in there together. And you're working together and walking together. Now, I don't want you to be unaware in verse 13, brethren, that I often planned to come to you. Have you ever had a trip that you planned and you knew you weren't going on it, but you made all the plans for it? A few years back, Bill decided that we were going to Wales and we were going to Ireland. And so the tickets were bought, and I was supposed to go with him. But the whole time, I felt like, I'm not supposed to go. I really am not. I'm not going to go. I just knew I was not going to go. But he wanted me to go, so I was following through on what he had wanted from me. And so I packed my suitcase, and we got to the airport, and we got on the plane, and we flew all the way to New Jersey. And in New Jersey, I'm still feeling like, God, I don't know, am I going to die on the plane, or what is the deal? I just know I'm not going to Ireland. And as we were there in New Jersey, we get the announcement, the plane has been delayed. The plane has been delayed. We waited a little longer. The plane has been delayed. Let me tell you a little secret that happens, though. My husband takes this melatonin stuff to help him on long trips. he believed that we were going to Ireland. I didn't take it because I knew we weren't going. But so it was really kind of funny to watch him. But and so then we get another delayed, and then finally it's been canceled. Your flight to Ireland has been canceled. Why has it been canceled? Because the volcano in Iceland erupted. And that was the time that nobody could fly across there. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, I knew I was not going. Why did I have to waste all my time packing my suitcase, getting on that plane, and I sat in the middle seat? I just wanted you to know that too. And so we've gotten there, and I'm wondering, why in the world, God, would you do this to me? And he said, did I call you to go? Well, yet my husband asked me to go, so yes, I was called to go. But my husband thought we were called to Ireland, but God knew that we were called to this nice little place that we got to spend the night in Jersey. And it was a beautiful little apartment that we got to stay in at no cost to us whatsoever. It was a friend's house, and we got to stay there all by ourselves. We had that lovely night there, and the whole next day, we got on the next flight. But I want to tell you, as we're at the airport waiting for the next flight out to go back, I felt like I was on the Titanic, because there were some young men who were musicians, and they all got their violins out, and they were playing the most beautiful music. I thought, okay, God, I'm not sure what's going on here. But anyway, we planned a trip that we never went on. And so here, Paul says, I planned to come to you in verse 13, but was hindered until now, and we were truly hindered by that volcano, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. In verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready. I'm ready. He was prepared. Are you prepared, ladies, for what God has for you? Are you prepared? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Do you have it in you? Are you preparing yourself for that moment when you are going to be sharing with someone the good news of Jesus Christ? How do we prepare for that? We invest that time in the Word. We invest that time in prayer. We invest that time in fellowship. We are prepared at any time. We're hiding the Word of God in our heart because we think we're not remembering it. Anybody else there? We read something. I'm memorizing something. Yes, I am memorizing it. I have no idea what I just memorized, but I know I'm memorizing it. And then at the very time that you need it, he said, I will bring it to your remembrance, whatever you have need of. But he can't bring to remembrance something that we don't put there. And so we want to hide the Word of God in our heart, do our best to memorize that, because we're not memorizing anything else, ladies. And remember what's happening to your brain when you're letting the electronics do everything for you. Really, I'm not kidding. Memorize the Word of God. Put it in your heart. Bury it in there so that when you have it, when you need it, you have it. And so he was ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, clings to, adheres to, relies on. That's what the word believes means. And I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ. What is the good news of Christ? That my sins are forgiven, that I can be born again, that that old man can be put down and the new man be risen. The good news is that Jesus Christ was born, that he died, that he rose again so that I might have life, that you might have eternal life. For God so loved the world, we talked about it last night, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, that we could have that eternal life for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is revealed from faith to faith. That is, you began in faith. Ladies, let's finish in faith. It's real tempting to begin to work our way to our faith. And of course, there are works that are involved in that faith. James says that show me your faith by your works. But it is not the works that saves us. It is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. From faith to faith, ladies, we want to finish well, right? Don't we all want to finish well? We want to finish in the same way that we started, strong, and we will. I know you guys will. The just, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the first time in this section of our text that we go to the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2:4 has this very phrase in it, the just shall live by faith. And we remember that this phrase, this verse here that is recorded also in Habakkuk 2:4 was the very words that changed Martin Luther's life, that caused him to find out the just shall live by faith. He was so into works, he beat his own body to bring it under submission. He would do all kinds of things. He dealt with all kinds of depression because he couldn't be as good as he thought he should be. And then he discovered the just shall live by faith. And he was set free, and he began that reformation of the Protestant Reformation. There is freedom when we realize it is the just who live by faith. For the wrath, and then we're going to switch gears here in verse 18. We're going to switch gears. Now, we've been talking all about these good things, all about the salvation, how I'm ready to share the gospel, how I'm ready to do this. But then he begins to talk to someone besides the believer. And the reason that I say that it's someone besides the believer is that I have scripture to back that up. It begins with, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says that we are not appointed to his wrath. Those of us who are believers, we are not appointed to his wrath. And so that's why I'm saying he is talking to others than the believers. He is talking to those who have gone in a succession. A succession has happened here, and we'll get into this. Because, and so the who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. Do you know of any time in our lives right now where the truth is being suppressed? Ladies, there are things that should be being taught in our schools right now that are laws that are on the books that should be being taught in our school that have to do with the Bible, that have to do with Christianity. They are law that they should be taught, but the truth is being suppressed so much that we think that we can't do it. And we need to find out what those are and get into that and teach it to our children. Because what may be known of God, verse 19, is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. He's shown it to him. Acts 14:17. It's already been shown to us. Look quickly, Acts 14:17. Acts 14:17. We learned at the retreat to write it down first, 14:17, and then go looking for it. Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. So God is manifest in them. He is there. He is shown in them. Their very bodies, our very bodies are put together in such a way. How can we deny that there's a God that put us together? We have a heart that pumps into veins and arteries and goes out throughout our whole body that carries life-giving blood. The life is in the blood. That's why God's blood had to be shed for our sins. And yet we have a brain that tells our heart to pump the way that it is. What if, this is why evolution is so silly. You know, what if the heart was made, but the mechanism in it wasn't, it hadn't evolved to the place where it pumped it out? You'd be dead, right? Right, so there's no truth to it at all. Our bodies alone show the greatness of God. It's manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhood, so that they are without excuse. It is undeniable. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1. Starting with verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. It doesn't take a language to show the goodness of God, to make God manifest in our lives, the creation itself, these invisible attributes. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, by all of it. Because, verse 21, and here we go, there's a progression that we're about to look at here. There's a progression that happens. Because although they knew God, and I would venture to say, although they knew of God, although they were taught of God, they did not glorify him as God. That's the first thing. They did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. They did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. And the next words tell us a big story about their progression. Then, but they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Futile in their thoughts. Ladies, this is where it all starts, in our thought world, in the place where we are thinking we're so smart. That's where it all starts. And their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts, because They did not glorify God, nor were thankful. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts because of it were darkened. They did not glorify God, nor were they thankful, and they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Jeremiah 10:14, again, going back to Old Testament on this. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Another progression. And they changed, verse 23, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. They made God in their own image instead of remembering that we are made in God's image. And they couldn't understand God, and so we make our own gods, don't we? Didn't they? We would never do that. But don't they? Make God in their own image. It says that they did. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God because they did not glorify God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened, and so they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image that was made like corruptible man and like birds and like four-footed animals and creeping things. They made all kinds of idols. All kinds of idols, and we have them. Still today, we have them. It's others that have them. We don't have them, but others do. A friend of mine has an idol that they put. No, that's not true. We all have our little idols that we, but this is not, remember, this is not written to the believer. This is written to the one who has not given glory to God, who has not been thankful, whose thoughts have become futile, and they're foolish hearts have been darkened. They made themselves idols. Therefore, in verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And he gave them, you know, the scripture says, delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you're thinking like the Lord, and so he can give you his desires, the desires of your heart. But what this is saying is that he gave them over to their desires. He let them have the desires of their heart. That's what they wanted to live for. Who exchanged, verse 25, the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Does that not sound familiar? Remember, we talked about there's going to be a lot of this scripture that's going to sound like it's always been that way. It's always going to be this way. It's going to sound familiar. But don't turn it off just because it sounds familiar. Sounds like something that's never going to change. Go to Isaiah 44:20. And it says, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? They changed the truth for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie, going back to Romans chapter 1. And for this reason, verse 26, because they did not glorify God, because they were unthankful, because of those things, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. God will not always strive with man. Scripture bears that to be true. And he gave them up to their vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men and women, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And Leviticus 18:22 is that penalty that with that error. But let's look at this. Again, another familiar situation. that we deal with every day. Every country, every culture that has fallen has given itself to homosexual lifestyle first and has accepted and has bought into it, and it brought down nations. I know that's not a popular way to say things. I know that doesn't give me points with some people that say that I'm not supposed to say that when I'm up here. But the truth of God is the truth. And I will not exchange a lie for the truth. And I will do as much as is within me. I will be ready to preach the gospel. And part of that gospel, part of that good news, is that we don't have to practice this. God calls it sin, and we must call it sin as well. And so, but we'll move on from there. We won't get on to a whole study because it would take, I would love to have three different teaching sessions for this one chapter to really get into all of the teaching on it. But we don't have that. We only have a few more minutes right now. And so, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgment of God, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice these things. I'm always nervous when I go to the doctor's practice. Aren't you? It's his practice that you go to when you're going to the doctor. It always makes me nervous. They're practicing on me. I know they're practicing on me. It says so on their door that they are practicing. They are practicing medicine. This says, do not practice these things. Later, in another a letter that Paul wrote, it says, it goes through this whole long list, and it says, of such were some of you. Of such were some of you, or you are no longer practicing that sin. And you'll note that homosexuality is not the only thing we're talking about here. We're talking about gossip. We're talking about envy. We're talking about being haters of God, being violent, being proud, being boasters, being inventors of evil things. We're talking about the other things that we don't look at as the big sins. I have a book at home that says the acceptable sins. We've had that. We do that, don't we? There are sins that we've decided are acceptable. Envy, strife, jealousy. We accept them. And God says, no, we can't accept them. They are right in there with the rest. Sin is sin is sin is sin. And so it goes on to say that we are not to practice those things. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such thing are deserving of death. And when we practice sin, we are deserving of death. The wages of sin is death. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and remember they got to this place because of they didn't glorify God. They were unthankful. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Approve of those who practice them. With that, I have to ask us, what are you watching? What have you been watching that you're approving of? The one that I think of that comes to my mind right away is Criminal Minds. We would never do that. How do they come up with those ideas? How do those things ever happen? And yet they have created evil things and we watch it. That says we are approving of it. Now, I don't know how many of you watch that particular one. I personally do not go to R-rated movies, and it's getting pretty much now that you can't even go to a PG movie. But The Giver, the movie The Giver, has not done well at the box office. But I have seen the movie twice now. And they say it's not doing well. And as I looked at that, I thought, yeah, well, it's a clean movie. And there's not violence in it, not a lot of violence. There's no sex in it. And there's no swearing in it. So it's really not very interesting to people when they go to the movies. Because we've learned to approve of those things. There are consequences when we live in that way. And I think God calls us to something much higher. Remember, we are called by God to be. We are, number one, called by God. We are, number two, we are called to be saints. And we are called to live in such a way that we are prepared to share the gospel. Whenever I am in a situation where I am challenged in things, and I think about the times when we were remodeling some things in our house, and not everything goes right. You notice that everything doesn't go right when you remodel a house. There are a few things that are a challenge. But I had decided in my heart when we first started it that the man that I was doing business with, I want to be able to share Jesus with him when we have settled this whole issue. So how am I going to live my life? Am I going to live it in such a way that I am taken by these things? Or am I going to live it in such a way that I can come out of it sharing the gospel with them? And so with this, remember, ladies, we are called. And we are called to be saints. And we are not going to be the ones from verses 18 to 32, but we are the ones who are followers of Christ. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, very much, Lord, for your presence here, for your teaching, Lord, for the things that you have said, the things that you've taught me even as I was speaking, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence amongst us. Thank you, Lord, that for this printed word that we have. Thank you, Lord, that we can hide this word in our hearts, that we can know you with intimately, Lord. Father, that we can talk to you and we can, you reach down your ear to us and you hear us. When we fall, Lord, you reach down your hand to pick us up. And Lord, you are the lifter of our heads. When we're feeling and knowing what we've done, it just, how can you love me? You are the lifter of our heads, and I just see you, Lord, just lifting our heads that we might look into your eyes, Lord. Thank you, God, for the country that we live in. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have. Please don't let us ever take it for granted. And Lord, I pray for the Christians throughout this whole United States, Lord, that they would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways so that you can hear from heaven and heal our land. And Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country. Lord, we pray ultimately that they would come to know you as their Savior. But Lord, we pray for a wisdom to be in their hearts, in their minds, and on their lips, Lord. You've told us to pray for them, and so we submit them to you, Lord. We give them to you. And we walk in obedience to what you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord, as the ladies get into their small groups. Father, I pray that your presence would be so there, Lord, in the conversation, in the prayers, in the fellowship together, Lord, that they would be very aware of you are sitting in on your circle. On each circle, you are right there. And I don't know how you can possibly do that, Lord, but you are with us always. You are with each one of us always. Help us always to be aware of that. And let it be a time, Lord, that you are given glory and that you are being thanked. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up. All you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up. All believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.